Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Where do new Christians come from? Okay, well, let me tell you about the birds and the bees. See, there are birds and there are bees. And the birds do, well, what birds do. And the bees do what, well, what bees do. The birds and the bees do just what comes naturally. Okay, let's try this a different way. Fishermen. Now there are fishermen and there are fisher persons. And fishermen and fisher persons love to, well, fish. So fishermen and fisher persons just naturally fish. Are you getting any of this? By some of the laughter and some of the looks on your faces, I guess not. So let's try this yet another way. There are Christian men and Christian women, and Christian boys and Christian girls, and Christian men and women, boys and girls are people who know about Easter. They believe that Jesus died and rose again for them, which means they know that Jesus loves them. And so they in turn love other people. And then they do, well, what comes naturally. That's what our text is about this morning. It's about what Christians, people of Easter, do. People who believe in the resurrection just do what comes naturally. And that has everything to do with where new Christians come from. Are you following me? Let me be a little more specific. Last week in the gospel, the Easter story seemed to reach a perfect ending. Jesus appeared to his disciples, first without and then with Thomas. He gave them the peace that comes only through the forgiveness of all sins, the faith to believe it, and the power to forgive sins themselves. They've seen Jesus. They know he's alive. Even Thomas believes. And there had been that wonderful word to future generations, blessed are all those who have not seen and yet have believed. In last week's text, John even wrote what seemed to be the perfect ending to his gospel. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. But then, curiously enough, John adds one more chapter. Our text from today. Jesus is risen. Now what are we going to do? What comes naturally, of course. Jesus appeared to his disciples by the sea. Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Peter decides to go for a fish. He's a fisherman, after all, and that's what he does. And the others decide to join him. At this point, the disciples don't know what Jesus' next instructions would be. So they do what comes naturally. Fishermen fish. Besides, it's against Peter's nature to just sit around and do nothing. He has to do something. And then you know what happens. They went out into the boat and they caught nothing all night long. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" "No," they answered. Then he said, "Throw your nets to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. This happened once before, if you remember. early on in Jesus' ministry, Jesus enabled his disciples to catch a net full of fish. They'd fished all night and caught nothing. Then Jesus works that miracle, and they catch more than they can handle. Last time, though, Peter responded quite differently, if you remember. Remember what Peter does last time? He falls on his knees and says to Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." That was the natural reaction of a man who had not yet seen the cross. Without the forgiveness of the cross, we could never be in the presence of God. In fact, we wouldn't want to be in the presence of God because by nature, we are his enemies. How different this time, though. Peter jumps into the water because he could not get to Jesus fast enough. He couldn't wait to be near him. This is the natural reaction of those who believe in the cross and the resurrection. See, by this time, Easter has already happened. Believing in the crucified and risen Christ creates a completely new nature within us. Now inside is a person who knows that they are forgiven, even loved by God. The new person inside knows that he's going to be with God forever in eternity, and he can't wait. Because he knows and believes, there's this whole new nature that is eager to respond to Jesus. So what's he going to do? Well, what comes naturally, of course. Do you recall the point of the story the last time Jesus enabled his disciples to catch all those fish? From now on, Jesus said, "You will catch men." Do you suppose the disciples thought back to that time? Do you suppose that perhaps we are too? This, it seems, is why the Holy Spirit inspired John to add this last chapter, why he records the particular miracle. It's not just another resurrection appearance of Jesus. It's an intentional reminder of what naturally follows after people have seen the risen Christ, believe in him, and have been empowered by Jesus to forgive sins. And notice how John is doing it. Not as an imperative, a command, go and do this, but just by a subtle yet highly suggestive story of a fishing trip. John knows we as Christians want to go and be fishers of men. It's what we want to do by the new nature created within us. Christian men and women, boys and girls, just have this natural desire to make new Christians. We have tasted the joy of Easter. We have seen that our sins are forgiven. We have the certainty of eternal life. And now we just naturally want everyone in the world to have the same things. It's against our nature to sit and do nothing. When we do nothing, as we so often do, we're listening instead to that old nature that remains within us. The new man and woman within cannot wait to share. Fishermen fish. Christians want to make new Christians. Now, of course, it's not as if Christian men and Christian women, boys and girls, necessarily sit down and decide just how many new Christians they want to make or how exactly they're going to do it. It's not necessarily something that they plan, just whatever God has in mind. Jesus is the one who plans and makes all this happen. The best laid plans of men are meaningless. Peter says, "I am going fishing," but then he catches not a single fish all night. Without Jesus, all our fishing for men is just as fruitless. But then Jesus says, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and things go swimmingly. Jesus is the one who catches fish. In fact, Jesus does everything. When the disciples landed, they saw the charcoal fire with fish on it and also bread. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." Jesus feeds and equips us to do what the believer naturally wants to do. And with Jesus empowering, fishermen catch fish, and new Christians get made. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged that net ashore, and it was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many in the net was not torn. That's a lot of fish, and there may be more to it than that. From the earliest years of the book of John, commentators have wondered why the Holy Spirit inspired John to record such an exact number. Greek zoologists of the first century believed there was 153 kinds of fish in the sea. Could it be that John is reminding us that we are to go to every tribe and nation with this saving gospel to bring all nations into God's net? The net wasn't torn. Perhaps a reminder that none of God that he has chosen for salvation will get away. None will be missed or lost. The disciples didn't plan to catch exactly 153 fish. They couldn't even catch one on their own. But planning how many fish we're going to catch isn't something we need to worry about. We just go about our business, fishing because we're fishermen, sharing Christ because we're Christians, people who ourselves are loved, forgiven, bound for eternal life, doing what comes naturally. Every Christian does this naturally. New Christians aren't made by some brilliant ingenuity and church growth theories, not by smooth administration or slick programs. New Christians just happen naturally as we naturally seize the opportunities that God presents. We have friends who come to us and tell us that they are hurting. We have relatives that we can invite to church. We testify to Christ the way we naturally go about our lives and speak of Him. Being bank tellers and farmers, students and teachers, kids, moms, and dads. We may not consider ourselves evangelists, but we all are by nature. You know I'm a pastor, and I get lots of chances to tell people about Jesus. But there are three definite cases where I know for a fact that I had a hand in making new Christians. And it was the easiest, most natural way. When Marie and I brought Levi, Nathaniel, and Abigail to the font in the waters of their baptism, we did essentially nothing. Yet Jesus made three new believers. See, for all of us who've experienced and believed in Easter, making new Christians is just natural for us. It's as natural as, well, the birds and the bees having a baby. Yet it is a lot easier. So as you go back out to your everyday lives, just do what comes natural and speak of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.